That's all I have to call all of you for coming. I know after you took your cleanest, you're all frazzled, and the fact that you're learning here on a late at night on a Thursday night is indicative that you have inculcated in yourselves the lessons of Chanukah in terms of being, you know, marbe b'Torah, not letting the chachma, the yavanim win in terms of lashkicham Torah secha. The topic that I want to talk about is something that always fascinated me, trying to figure out exactly what it was. Chachma Yevonis, Greek philosophy. You know, we sort of think of Greek philosophy in one sense, in an academic sense. On the other hand, you look at Chazal, and it's very looked at in a very harsh sense. What about it is harsh? I want to start off with a few different perspectives about this inyan, and perhaps after we look at some perhaps even stereodica, contradictory perspectives, we'll hopefully come up with a resolution of what the soda of Chachma Yevonis is that Chazal were so nervous about. The Rambam, in two places, writes the following. He says that Aristotle was the person who had achieved the highest level of intellectual capacity, and he was a darga below nevuah. I believe it's a Rambam in Maravuchim, I believe it's a Rambam as well in Shemona Prakim, and in terms of the Maramakomos, of the various things I'll be saying, anyone who wants them, you can ask me afterwards. I do them written down, I might not mention them as we go. A darga below nevuah was Aristotle. That shows us in a certain level, at least in terms of the Rambam's eyes, the esteem in which the Rambam held, I guess the king, if we have to say, of Greek philosophers. Seder Hadoros has a tradition that Aristotle, when he got old, was Niskayar. I don't know if that's true, but again, you see at least in the eyes of Chazal, there's some chashivas to that. If any of you have read the article Kinos, they quote on the bottom from the Ramah, I think in Torah Sa'adam, writes a story about Plato meeting the Navi Yirmiyah after the Churban HaBayis, and they have a little bit of a discussion. What happened? What's the nature of the Churban? What was the nature of the Beis HaMikdash? Again, they ascribe the Chashivas to Plato such that he should be meeting with Yirmiyah HaNavi, who is the Navi at the time of the Beis HaMikdash and the Churban HaBayis. We know in the time of beginning of history, Yafta l'kim l'yefes, Yishkan ba'al l'yishem, from which we learn a halacha, that the Torah is only allowed to be written in one ksav. The way we're familiar with ksav Ashuris, but there's something called ksav Yevonis, that Torah has to be written in a certain ksav called ksav Yevonis. It's not allowed to be written in any other form. So again, there's a certain chashivas that we ascribe to Yevonis, to Greek, to Greece. But putting everything aside, if we just forget all the specific anecdotes, if we look at the ideas behind Greek philosophy, the whole idea of Greek philosophy was the idea of the welfare state, socialism, democracy, the idea of dialing 911 and an ambulance comes and takes it to a public hospital. All these ideas, which presumably are wonderful, wonderful ideas in terms of governing a community, in terms of responsibility of an organization and a responsibility of people to not just themselves, but to the whole welfare of everybody, these seem to be very important ideas. See, at the same time, this is the same Yevanim upon which the Pasuk in the very beginning of Bryas HaOlam says, Hinei Tov Vavo V'chov Shechal Pnei Tzohom Chazal Daish and Tov, this is Malchus, I don't know, Paras Vavo, this is Pavo Malchus Yimodai V'chov Shechal Pnei Tzohom Zeh Malchus Yavon Shech Shicha in Israel. There's a Choshech that's ascribed to Yavon. After all their enlightened thought and all the good that they perhaps have offered to the world, they're perceived as choshech, shechshicha in Israel. And perhaps we'll try to understand what that choshech that they created really was. Where else do we see Yavin being choshech? We know that the Asar B'Teves, just a week and a half away, Asar B'Teves was the day, one of the things about Asar B'Teves, actually, it's not really Asar B'Teves, it's actually the eighth day of Teves, but there's three things that happened under the eighth and on the ninth, and then on Asar B'Teves, when the siege was set up for Bais Rishon, but on the eighth day of Teves, and the reason why we fast is because one of the things is that the Torah was maturgam to Yevonis, and as I'll say that at that point when the Torah was translated to Yevonis, the Septuagint was translated, Choshech Shlosha Yom Shel Choshech Yardu La'Olam, the 3 days of darkness fell to the world. So obviously, again, something about, well, that was a unique scenario. It wasn't just Yevon itself. The fact that the Torah was the Targum Davka Tivanis, also the same idea of Choshech. what was the point of the fact that Torah was Miturgam to Yevamis? What was so terrible? That why was that a choshes? So Mal writes that the goal of the Goyim, of the Yevanim, being Mitargim the Torah, was trying to demote it, to distill Torah to a level that should be equal to all the to the Shar Chachmas HaOlam, that should lose its unique capacities, its unique content that Torah has. The Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner, explains a little bit in a very simple way, in a very rationalistic way, what it means that through translating a Torah, you lose everything that it has. It's very simple. When Torah is written in Lashon HaKodesh, so there's so many different levels of Havana, that there's so many Ramazan, there's so many secrets, there's so many, the Tagim, each tag on the letter means something, each letter, there's the Gematria, there's all so many different levels of understanding that are all linked, that are all included within the Torah that's written by Yad Hashem, that's written in Lashon HaKodesh. Once you translate it to a different language, you are limited, you're limited to nothing more than, the Pshuto, of what Torah is, and nothing more than the, nothing more than what you see on the very, very most superficial levels. That's the idea why you're the Choshech for Shloshi Yamin. You see, Chazal, even in Halacha, questioned if you're allowed to learn Chachmi Yevanis as a whole machlok, as a Rishon, and maybe it's also to B'chlal learn Chachmi Yevanis, Greek philosophy. You see here, first we started mentioning a few things where we see the esteem that Chazal hold the Yevanim in and the Greek philosophers in. But we see here that it's Choshech, it's perhaps Aser. So where is this tension coming from? That's what I'd like to talk about this evening for a little bit. And this is going to get to the crux of what is Torah, what is not Torah, who we are, and how Torah relates to who we are. I want to start with the Maral. Maral, well, he doesn't give this example, but let me ask you a question. Bill Gates is the wealthiest person in America. Is there anyone here who is genuinely mekaneh of Bill Gates? Not that I'm sure there are people who wish they were Bill Gates, or they had the wealth of Bill Gates, but does anyone here feel a jealousy towards him? Warren Buffett? Okay, Steve Adelson, he's number three in the country, he's Jewish at least. He lost $4 billion, I think, in the past few weeks. That's a month or two ago. I can't even lose $4 billion in a lifetime. So why are we not mekaneh then? We're not mekaneh very simply because it's not in our, we're in a different ballpark, a different range entirely. I'll tell you a story. Maaseh Shehaya, that Dr. Pelkovitz mentioned this week, he had a client who was depressed, and he's a psychologist, so a fellow came to him, a 28-year-old young man who, very successful corporate something or other, comes in for depression issues, and comes in to a session one day, and the guy comes and says, you know, I got my bonus today. Oh, okay. How'd it go? It was a $500,000 bonus for a 28-year-old fellow. Aha, that sounds pretty good. Boy, I can't understand why anybody would be so sad if they have a $500,000 bonus. He said, yeah, but the guy right down the hallway from me got a $750,000 bonus, and I'm no less than him in any which way. Not in intelligence, not in my work, not in my academic record. I'm no less than him whatsoever. He got $750,000. I'm depressed. The Yisod is very partially Yisod. When you compare yourself to somebody, those are the people who you're mekaneh. Those are the people who you're mekaneh. I always thought that even when we talk about the positive kin, we talk about kin of self and tabi chachm, you want to, you know, be envious of other people who are really stark, people who are learning well, people who are ovdei Hashem. If you take for yourself somebody who's really much above you, it doesn't relate to you. You can't say, I'm mekaneh, Rebbe Kveger, I'm mekaneh, the Chasam Sofer, I'm mekaneh, you know, the Chasam Nishi, I'm mekaneh. You know, even sometimes even Rosh Hashiva, sometimes that's not even so applicable. But you take a guy who's basically, you know, went to the same high school as you, and you know you're basically just as, you know, sort of as intelligent as you are, and you know that he understands the sugya, and he, you know, just learns so much better than you. That's who you're mekaneh. That's what Tzad HaTov. And that's a good way to, you know, push yourself forward, to pick somebody who you could relate to. But in the Tzad Hara, it's also, when two people are similar, that's where there's kinah. In the Lashon of the Maharal, Malash of Chazal, Aim Gibor Mekane Ela Begigbo Kamoso. The only Mekane is somebody who's in the same parasha as you are. Zokta Maral, this is the tension between Bnei Yisrael, between the Torah, and Yavan. Yavan has something that no other nation was famous for, and that is its Chachma. And we have a Chachma, Torah is a Chachma. Here you have a Chachma, and you have a Chachma, and that's where there's going to be a tension. That's where there's a kinah. They were threatened by us, and that's where the Ashkicham Torah Secha they wanted. And we, in turn, of course, were threatened by them because of the dilution that they wanted to do to our Torah in terms of translating and writer, in terms of in terms of trying Lashkiach Torah Seim. It's this very fact that the Maharal writes, the fact that Yavan has Chachma in it, the fact that Yavan has this connection to Chachma, that enable, that makes Yavanis, that language which is most appropriate, which is most Mishtayich, to Torah, and therefore Hashem would only allow Torah to be Miturgam to Yavanis. Why? Because Yavan is the only language that has the Shaychus to Chachma, and therefore it's only appropriate in the Maharal Dika Machshava that Torah be translated only to that which is most Mishtayich to it. When we say Lashkifim Torah Seich, this is just as a side note. I saw the Pachad Yisrof, Matzah Seo, Solomon points this out in Matnas Chaim, and Pachad Yisrof of Hudr also mentions this. The Pachad Yisrof on Chanukah is just out of this world, I have to say. It's, if you want to just, you know, nowadays we don't really have Nevuah, we'll talk about that in a little while, but Mishkar Beis Midrash, Nitla Nevuah Min HaNevi'im, if you want to feel a little taste of Nevuah, sit down over the next few days with the Pachad Yisrof and just, you know, start soaring above and start flying around, just make sure you don't hit your head in the ceiling, I guess. The Pachad Yisrof writes that they tried Lashkicham Torah Secha, a little bit they were Matzliach. Even with the Nitzachon of the Maccabim, even with the fact that we won, they were still Matzliach a little bit. And he brings incredible... Gemara Chazal say that the first Machlokas in Sanhedrin, historically, the first Machlokas in Sanhedrin was Yosef ben Yoezer, and I don't remember his Bar Plutza. There's a Medrash Rabbah, that's Pachad Yisrof and Toldos, who points out that Yosef ben Yoezer himself was killed, lived and was killed by the Yavanim themselves. That was the first generation of Machlokas in history in terms of Torah Shebaal Peh. The first Machlokas that we have recorded in terms of our Moshe to the Torah Mosem, in terms of the Machlokas that we had in the Sanhedrin that started the chain of Machlokas that of course has never been broken, and we live in that Machlokas. That's part of the Hekshichei Neim Shal Yisrael, that's part of the Choshech, that's part of the Lashkicham Torah Secha. That's just a sidebar in terms of that they were a little bit Matzdiach Lashkicham Torah Secha. Memela, Yavan has Chachma, Torah is Chachma, that's where the tension is, that's where the kinna is, that's why they feel threatened by us, and we of course are threatened by them. That's on the simplest level. That's on the simplest level in terms of they have a body of wisdom, we have a body of wisdom, but the challenge and the concern with Chachmei Yavanis goes much, much, much deeper. Just one word of Hakdama, an anecdote, something that happened to me this week. I was talking to a fellow, and doesn't go to YU, and he's saying that, I don't know how religious he is, in fact, I don't think he's so religious, he says, I believe in God. Conversation continues, and then as we were talking, he says, like, I believe in God, but not as much as I believe in, you know, the table in front of me. God exists, but he's not real. The table's real, God's sort of real, but he's not really real. And I was thinking to myself, he's missing the whole idea. If that's his perception of God, then maybe you're right, Echanami doesn't exist. Just a complete blasphemy in terms of an understanding of what a Kudsha Brichu is, what a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what a Bori Olam is. It's not that God doesn't exist because I can't see him, Adonai, but God is beyond the physical existence so much so that he's more real than anything physical. Maybe you can't sense it because he's more real than anything you could perceive. Either way, that was just a conversation Manish had a few days ago. This perception that a person could have of not really sensing what God is, not really sensing what Ruchnius is, was only possible now in our stage in history. There was a stage in history where things were a little bit different. There's a Gemara, some of you might be familiar, that talks about the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah trying to destroy the Yitzra Avodah Zarah. They said it's too many people are falling to the Yetzer Hara Avodah Zarah. And Bichlal, we always wondered why, how it could be that so many times in the Torah it says, don't do Avodah Zarah, don't do Avodah Zarah, don't do Avodah Zarah, don't marry the women because they'll bring you to Avodah Zarah. Who, is there anyone that you ever met ever want to do Avodah Zarah? Do any of you have friends from high school who, we all have our old friends from high school. Did any of them ever turn go to Avodah Zarah? I know a lot of people, there are not so many who I know are of the Avodah Zarah. I know plenty of people are violating Mamish Kol Tayyig Mitzvahs, Mamish Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, and a lot more than that. But I don't know anyone who does Avodah Zarah. Why is that? Because in the time of Tanakh, there was Mamish in the same way, perhaps, that there's a Yetzer Hara for Gilui Arayos nowadays, there's an emotional or intellectual drive towards Avodah Zarah. It satisfied an incredible, incredible need and desire that man had, a very deep need that man had, or fell towards whatever he would get from doing Avodah Zarah. What that is, I don't know. We can't know what that is. Either way, but Chazal, at a certain time in history, the Mishnah Knesset Gdola cut that of Daven Takadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gemara has a funny description of what that means. Obviously, not literally. They cut the Zohar in a box, and they sealed it in. Obviously, not to be understood literally, but they destroyed the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And of course, the Gemara continues that they said, hey, once it worked in terms of that, we saved so many people from this, you know, the Gimel Chamuras, let's try with Gilei Arayos, and they did it, and they talked to Daven, and they had Kodesh Baruch Hu listen to them, and everyone was wonderfully, you know, proper, and it was decent, and there was no ads on the sides of the buses, and there was no Yetzirah of Gilei Arayos, until they realized that there were no chickens laying eggs either. And they realized that, no, this aspect of creation has to be left the way it is, and we'll leave things, you know, the Yetzer Hara for Arayas as well as is, we'll just, you know, have removed the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. The Yetzer Hara for Arayas will leave. Fine. Let me explain to you what really happened at that time that they took away the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, what things were a little bit before that, and what happened after they changed them. This is Yesod, a sign that I heard on the tape from Rabbi Reisman on the Motzei Shabbos Shiurim in Brooklyn. The tape titled Greek Philosophy, and this idea is taken from there. Before they were mevatel Yitzra d'Avodah Zarah, man, Jewish, non-Jewish, had a sense of sensing the spiritual. Was able to sense Ruchnius, was able to sense things that are me'al me'ever, the Olam HaKesha. It wasn't that we saw with our eyes and then some people believe, some people don't. No, you sensed in the same way you sense something that's physical, you sense that, and that's where all the nations of the world had such a rich and a colored imagery in terms of the Kochas Hatum and all kinds of things. That was a very strong proponent, mitzius that existed at that time. You sensed it, and people sensed it. But when they took away the Yetzirah d'Avodah Zarah, it took away that ability, that sense of seeing the spirit of Tal Hara in the world, and Mamela, there was also Nital, the spirit of the ability to sense the spirit of Tov. Because, of course, Zelim HaZel, Zelim Kim, and you have to maintain a Bechira. So, Chazal even say that at that same time that the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was removed, so too was the opportunity for Nevuah was removed. It doesn't just mean that those Fuyu Yechidim who were able to reach the Darg of Nevuah no longer were able to get Nevuah, it's much more than that. It was across the board, it's not just like there are cuts in the budget and you know, two people are fine. No, cuts in the budget across the board. Everyone loses out. Some people in the Vienna, they mamish lost their Nevuah. But everybody had a certain sense, all of you matter, not just the Jews, had a certain sense of Ruchnius Tikka Mitzius that existed at that time. It existed both with Tzad HaTov and with Tzad Hara. When the Tzad Hara was removed to the Tfilas of Adjei Knesset HaGdola, Zelu Matzeh, there was also lost the sense of Ruchnius to Tzad HaTov. And in Mela, there was an inability for people to sense Ruchnius, to sense, for lack of a better word, spirituality, both to us, both to Goyim, and it manifests itself in so many different ways of understanding things, and there's no meaning in life. All of meaning in life comes from that which is above the physical world. All of values, all of the idea of ethics, all of meaning, it all comes from something that's above the physical world. That was all lost at that moment, that they were mevatel Yetzirah d'Avodah Zarah. In fact, I saw Rabbi Akiva Tatz, who probably heard from Moshe Shapiro, page 208 in Living Inspired, if you want to look it up, writes that that's the time, the Anshei Knesset Gdola was the time that Bnei Yisrael, that the Anshei Knesset Gdola were Mesakin Brachos. For this very exact reason, he writes. Because until then, people were able to sense within the physical world the Kedusha within an apple, the Kedusha within a Danish. But at that time that they lost this, both the Tzad Hara and the Tzad HaTov, they weren't able to sense the Ruchnius in the physical world, and that's why Chazal had to be Misakim Brachos. They had to be. Because there was a void, they had to fill that void, they had to be Misakim Brachos in order to fill that void that was left through their inability to perceive and sense any Ruchnius. What does this have to do with us? Because this void that was left at the destruction of the Yetzer Hara d'Avodah Zarah at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, this void was filled by Greek philosophy. This is where Greek philosophy comes in, historically, and machshava, to fill that void that people have of what is the meaning of life, what is the sense of what is the reason for things, what is behind the physical mitzias. That's where Greek philosophy had its clutches and its tentacles latched on to that time in history, and that's where Greek philosophy came from. I think that's a very chashuv yisod. to understand historically where Chachma Yevanos comes from, and to understand the danger of what it's doing. It's creating an artificial, Greek philosophy did create an artificial perception of what the ideal of life, the purpose of life is, and it's created by whom? By he who created life? No, by somebody who has to figure out what life, meaningful life is. I heard a Maisa Shahaya about 85 years ago. Rabbi Blass told me this Maisa, Rabbi Blass, that when Harvard built the philosophy building called Emerson Hall after Ralph Waldo Emerson, they had to decide, they needed a pasuk, some sentence to write over the mantle as you walk into the building, you know, carve into the stone. They had to write something intelligent, something philosophical, something that's appropriate for the Emerson Hall of Harvard University. And the university department, they decided on a line from Pythagoras, I was told, that says, I don't remember the lashon, something about all that is created is for man. I had it written somewhere. Something about man being the center of everything. The man is the measure of all things. Thank you. Man is the measure of all things. And that the building was finished towards the end of the year. It was going to be inaugurated at the beginning of the next school year. And that's what they had decided at the end of the year. Man is the measure of all things, quote from Pythagoras. And apparently the president of the university was thinking over the summer, and something struck him. He didn't like it. He didn't like it. It was too egotistical. It was too self-centered. The day before the new school year at Harvard, he decided to pick a different pasuk. Ma enosh ki tizkarenu. That's the pasuk. You can go to Harvard, Emerson Hall, figure out how you want to translate ma enosh ki tizkarenu. Who is man such that he should, however you want to translate it. It's in Boston, and some of you from Boston, you can let me know if it's true. Kach shamati. You there? It's written in Hebrew, nach besser. Gevaldi, even better. Ma enosh ki tizkarenu. This fear of Chochmas Yevonis, meaning to fill that void that we have of values, fill that void of meaning, that void of the whole Tachlis of Achayim, that we're now leaving it, we don't have the coming from Ruchnias stick, from Ruchnias, because we've lost that with the Yitzhar, the Avodah Zarah, being Vatal, also the Koach HaTov, the possibility for the Vuah, so we lost that. So now the Chochmas Yevonis comes to fill that void and inject its own perspectives however it wills, however it wants, without any absolute, without anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's in terms of historically where Chachma Yevanos comes from. Chachma Yevanos, though, encompasses so many different aspects that, in terms of points where they had a focus on the body, they had a focus on the perfection of the physical realm, we, of course, don't look at that as the ultimate, we look at that as nothing more than a kli, to something that has significance. They looked at one of the big machlokes is that they looked at the world in terms, they looked at Chachma as something that's completely theoretical, something that's completely in the mind, but nothing that relates to actuality, nothing that relates to the body of the acting. Torah obviously is the exact opposite. Torah is nothing more, is meaningless if it's only theoretical. It's only significant if it's something that's inculcated into our lifestyle. The highest ideas of Torah is, of course, Lasuk Yishmaitz Libet Hilchusa, because that's where Torah reaches its pinnacle in terms of its becoming a part of real life. But I want to talk about, now shift away from Chachma Yevanos to Torah, so we can understand what Torah is a little bit more clearly. I think it's important, Ma'ad al-Hashiv, to other people, Da'am al-Hashiv, to ourselves, especially in our institution, it's important for us to understand, and I'll show you a question that I have, and I'm sure at least some other person has thought of this question in their lives. I'll tell you when it happened. I was in 12th grade. I was in MTA. Could have been this room for all I know. And I had a bechina. I remember who it was with. It was with Rabbi Yammer, Mishalvim, those of you who know him. And after my bechina, he said, so tell me, he has a very warm way to speak, so tell me, tell me something that you're thinking about, tell me that's bothering you, some achshava that's just on your mind. Actually, I'm sorry, it's a different time. I'm sorry, no, that was a different question I had. I'm sorry, I was in Eretz Yisrael with Blachman from Kamp Yavna. To cover all the bases. Not all the bases, that's true. He's giving a shiur on me, I apologize, totally different. That was a different story that I also was giving a shiur about. This is a different. So he's giving a shiur, and he was pointed out that the idea that Chochma is from Hashem, that everything happens in the world is from Hashem. So me, I was about to go to, he knew I was going to YU in a few months. I said, oh, gevalde, chacham is from Asher. I said, so next time I say, lasot b'divrei Torah in the morning, I should start reading some physics textbook. And he lashed out at me. And he gave it to me, which is good, because it gives me a story to tell now. But he, for good, it was not so tall, so it was incredible, and I gained incredibly from it. Why not? Why is that not the case? Why isn't it that any chachma that I learn is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So why isn't it, if it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah is also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So where lies the difference between chachma, which let's assume is true, and Torah? And I'm not going to say the chachma is not true, because the first of Chazal say, chachma b'gayim tamin. I want to focus on that for a few minutes, perhaps to understand the contrast between Torah versus chachma yevonis. Chachma, even the pinnacles of Chachma, are limited by virtue of the fact that they're the creation, or if not the creation, then the perception of mortal mind. There can be no greater than that. It's nothing more than, even in its highest levels, than that which man could conjure with man's limited intellect, with man's limited experience, with man's limited perspective, with his limited ability to sense this world. Ma she'en kein Torah is also Chachma. What is a Chachma Elokus? Because a Chachma Elokus, Mimela, doesn't have any of those limitations. Mimela, it could include, it could involve, it could be much deeper, but we're going to go much deeper than that. We said before, the Rambam that I started with said that Aristotle was a Dagobah Lonavua. I just want to touch what that means. I think what that means is that Aristotle reached the pinnacle of the human intellect that the human intellect is capable of achieving. But the human intellect is only capable of achieving whatever Chochma Enoshi is able to achieve. But if you have Torah called revelation, if you have Torah meaning Nevuah is a darga above that, which is very posh because it's Kashmir Kodesh Baruch. So mainly Aristotle reached the highest darga of Chochma Enoshi, but we have greater than that because we have no, which is what the Rambam sort of says. He doesn't say it like I'm saying it, but he says the darga below Nevuah. What he means by that is, but we have Nevuah, we have Mesorah from Sinai, which is Nevuah, and Mela, we have a higher Darga than Chochma Elokis. I think that's tight in the Rambam. But I want to understand again, what's the difference if both are from Hashem, and both are true, meaning all of Chochma of biology, all of Chochma of chemistry. So it's true, one is Chochma Enoshis, but it's still a part of Chochma Elokis. It's the amount of Chochma. Let me give an example. Let's say there are 27 million cones in an eye. Okay? So I only know that, I don't understand so much more than that. But whatever that is, right, I'm limited because I only understand that much and I only know that much, but that's also part of Chochmas Hashem, isn't it? It's true that it was perceived by me, or by whoever had the microscope and counted. It's a lot of cones to count. But whoever counted that, but he was counting that which was also a part of Chochmas Elokis. It's not Lafukei. Chochmas Elokis has a cap. It can't be greater than that. But whatever it is should be still a part of Chochmas Elokis. It's just Chochma Elokis goes vastly further than that. But if we believe that Chochma is true, which Chazal tells us it is true, so where lies the essential difference, the qualitative difference, not just the quantitative difference, where lies the qualitative difference between Chochma Enoshis and Chochma Elokis in the Torah? Chochma Elokis, the height of the Torah. The Maharal says something that's very yesodistic, a one-liner. You could give a shiur and a Musa Shmuzana, you could give a Musa Shmuzana for a month, you could learn it for a year. Maral says in one line that, yes, when you learn biology, it is true, and you could do wonderful things with it. You could become a doctor and save a lot of people's lives. You could become an intelligent person and sound intelligent, but that's not going to bring you to the tachlis of who you are. Torah, says Maral, is a chachma that the asek in that chachma brings you to your tachlis. In one line, Torah is something that its asek brings you to your tachlis. That's what Torah is. This is Chachma, and that's Chachma. Of course, Torah is a lot more than regular Chachma, but at least that much. But it's a Chachma that just being osek in that Chachma, as opposed to all the other Chachmas, which are wonderful, which are you could use for wonderful things, or you could use for terrible things, either way. But the asek in Torah is something that, by definition, brings you to Chachma, brings you to your tachlis. So if you ever wonder, what am I doing here if I'm not being matzliach in my learning, I don't understand the plot, I took a bechira today and I failed it, and even though I didn't even fail, I can't even take it, I don't know anything, even whatever I do know is still nothing connected to what there is to know, that's not the point. The point is, by being osik in Torah, you're being osik in what your tachlis is. but being osik in any other chachma, is it true? Yes. Assuming that the chachmas are true, and of course, besides hypothesis and theory, assume things are true, and there is plenty of chachma that is true. But it doesn't bring me to my tachlis. Its asek doesn't make me a different person, more educated person. It helps me do things, yes, but it doesn't make me a different person, meaning to reach my tachlis. That's it. That's my realm. Pachad Yitzchak takes it, I don't know if he's saying the same thing, but saying it in a much deeper way, or perhaps a different thing entirely. He says, Hashem was megala himself to the world two times in history. Hashem was megala himself at Maaseh Breishis, and Hashem was megala himself at Sinai. It's interesting, I don't know if he points this out, but Hashem was megala himself at Maaseh Breishis with Asara Ma'amoros. Hashem was megala himself at Sinai in Asara Sadibros. I'm sure there's some correlation. Esther in general is a lashon of shleimus. I assume the same way Chazal say that Moshe was 10 amos high. I don't think that means he would hit his head on the ceiling. I think Moshe being 10 amos high probably means that he has some kind of shleimus. The 10 represents a certain shleimus. So in the same way that Moshe had that shleimus of 10, that's how I understood that Chazal. So to Asura Ma'amoros was a complete gilui, whatever, of as much of Hashem as he's going to exhibit in this world through Ma'aseh Bereishis, through the creating of the world. And so too, there was a complete gilui of as much as Hashem wanted to reveal himself to the world at Har Sinai. Two giluyim. So what's the difference? It says the Pachad Yitzchak, you could come to Hashem, and Avraham Avinu obviously came through the first way, through understanding Maaseh Bereishis, and afterwards we could come to Hashem through Torah. No, but you could discover Hashem. You could discover Hashem through Maaseh Bereishis. You could look at the world, you could look at science, you could study the world, study how things work, and uncover who Hashem is. But you're missing something very, very important. I'll give you a mashal that you can probably relate to. Somebody suggests a girl for you. And you say, I'm not just going to go out. You know, I'm not just going to go out. Anybody, let me find out a little bit about her. So you find out a little bit about her. You make some calls. You find out. You find out, is she quiet? Is she noisy? Is she loud? You find out how tall she is. You find out how intelligent she is. You even found out through a freak question that what she got on her SATs. And you build in your mind a picture of who this person is. And you're going to get accurate, if you do the job well enough, you're going to get relatively accurate information. That's that. And you'll build yourself a picture of who this person is. Because you'll find out all the information, you'll find out all the things that are about them, and that's how you'll know the person. There's another way to know a person. You could knock on their door, and they'll open it up, and they'll smile and say, hi, welcome, and you met the person. And in 30 seconds, you'll probably know more than the hours that you invested in trying to find out who they were. Mamish, the same yisod is with the gili of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Chachmas HaOlam, through the Maaseh Bereishis that he created and allowed us to understand who he is by uncovering all the different facts that he created, and Mamela I could figure out who he is and what he is through the Chachma that he allowed the world to be created in. But that whole Chachma is nothing more than a mirror of who Hashem really is, of what the Torah is. Hesav Baraisa Bara Alma, the world is nothing more than a mirror of Torah being HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's nothing more than a mirror of who Hashem really is. Or Hashem could present himself to me the way he wants me to be, to see him. Hashem could open the door and show and say, here I am, Rabbi Yisrael, here I am, my Tari Yidin. And that was my Sebration. That was Har Sinai. That was Hashem revealing himself the way he wants himself to be perceived by the observer, by Bnei Yisrael, who is standing at the feet of Har Sinai. And that's the difference. Again, I'm not the Bachar Yisrael, he used very different words than the words I use. Hashem didn't give this mashal. But the Pailosh of the Pachad Yitzchak is that the Gili of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, I'm sorry, at Maaseh Bereishis, was one of Hechreyah. I mean, you could figure it out. You could figure it out. It's there. Do the math. You'll figure out who Hashem is. However, the Gili of Hashem, the Chochmas Hashem, Ratzon Hashem, at Har Sinai, was one of Ratzon. Meaning, he presents who he wants you to see him as. Hashem presents himself, I want you to see me as somebody like this. I want you to see me as somebody like this. With whom is it easier to create a relationship? With the person you discovered through phone calls, or the person you discovered through presenting themselves to you, however they want to talk to you and present themselves to you and what they want to wear when they meet you? Obviously, you create a deeper keshu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you connect to him and you discover him in the way that he allows himself to be discovered by you. Or the way that he wants you to discover him, the way that he wants to present himself to you. And that's that's how I see that. Again, two different understandings, very, very technical understandings of the difference between chachmas, which are true, as opposed to chachmas HaTorah, understanding Hashem through chachmas HaTorah. Adkan, basically, the Yisodos of Chachmei Yevanos, differences from Torah. I just want to talk about Hanukkah specifically. The Nitzachon of Hanukkah, in my mind, I'm very confident that the Nes that we're celebrating, the Yisod of Hanukkah, is not the Nitzachon of military victory, Rabbi Biad Matim. I don't think either, even though that's what the Gemara says, that it's the Nes of the Shemen. I don't think that's the point. Because, I'll say very simply, there's a Nes with Shemen every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ner Ma'aravi had not enough oil for the night, and it lasted 24 hours every single day of the year, for year after year after year after year after year. And we have no one ever makes any mention of that. That's not, the Nes of Chanukah isn't so much different than that. I don't think the Yisod of Chanukah was the Nes of Shemen. I don't think the Yisod of Chanukah was the Nes of the Rabbi Biad Matim. The Yisod of Chanukah is the fact that, not just not in terms of the Nes, but in terms of what we're celebrating about Chanukah, is that the Nitzachon of the primacy of Torah, of that they are Rotzu Lashkicham Torah Secha, and we won in general, even though Pachy Yisrael points out that it wasn't complete. We still lost. There was Machlokas that was introduced at that time. But in general, we won whatever amounts that they wanted to Hellenize us, that they wanted to inject the Greek philosophy into us, we beat them in that. And we pushed that dilution of Torah, that challenge of other chokhmas, away from whom we are. That's the Ikri Yisod of what we're celebrating on Chanukah. So what's the point of the Nes Hashem? What's the point? I think the point of the Nes Hashem is nothing more than Hashem showing us that that's what happened. There's so many chazals and psukim that talk about Shemen being indicating the Yisod of Torah. Kiner mitzvah of Torah are, that's by Yehudim HaYisod, Orah v'simcha, Orah v'zid Torah. The chazals say, Haroah Shemen b'chalom yitzape l'Torah. You have a dream. What do you dream about? Some people dream about elephants, some people dream about race cars, some people dream about Shemen. If you dream about Shemen, you know what that's? That's an omen, you're going to be zocher to Torah. What else do we see? We see Chazal say Harog b'ner, having leibanim tayde chachamim. Again, there's some connection, some correlation between Shemen being Torah. By Hashem doing a nes with Shemen, that's what I think. I could be totally off the bat. By Hashem doing a nes with Shemen, Hashem is telling us, be merami says symbolically, that there has been a nitzachon, there has been a nes in Torah itself, and what Torah is in the amida of Torah, in the chizuk of Torah, in establishing what Torah is and ought to be in its pristine form. I think that the same idea, just taking this idea, just applying it. Timu kol hashmanim, when they walked into the base of Israel, Timu kol hashmanim, again, Shemen is symbolically, at least on some level, is Torah. Timu kol hashmanim, v'tami the Torah. And the tikkun was that, no, we had a little bit of Torah in its pure form, and that's what we build on. We build on Torah in its pure form. I think that's just important for us to realize that the lesson for us to take out of Chanukah is this lesson, the lesson that Torah is different from Chochmah. Lesson that the Maharal said that Torah is bring us to our tachlis. It's not just something that we learned that is true. It's more than that. It's the Eisek in Torah alone is who we are. And I think here, especially when we're in YU and we have all these, and we have a lot of pursuit of academics and a lot of pursuit of all of our studies, and I'm not taking away from them because it could very well be true, many of the courses that we take, whatever. At the same time, that's not whom we are. That's not going to bring us to our tachlis. Ezra Hashem, if we take these ideas of Chanukah, we take these ideas of Chashivas HaTorah and Chochmas HaTorah, we should make a roshim on us, and we should have the oros, as they say, the oros of Chanukah, affect us and enable us to learn better and carry us through all the times of Choshech. Chis Chashivas HaTorah. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, I just want to say
How do you turn this on? No, I do. The place that